Oh, for God's sake,
Robert coming in here.
And by the way, again, there's that City Hall thing going on downtown.
You.
Please drop by. It's a little bit wet, but it's a real important. Sleeping is not a crime. And once again, there's a protest and sleep out coming up this Saturday as well at Cathcart and Pacific. And what's going to be going on is we got a long list of stuff here. Free food served on the sidewalk. That's going to be at 1 p.m. Following that's going to be a speak out against the sleeping ban, which you should all be part of. And 3 p.m. Is going to be the march rally in the lion. People are just going to be lying around a little bit, but it's not just your typical lying around. It's saying something. Trying to get these cops, all right. Yeah, not like the politicians and the cops lying around about donuts and stuff like that and lying and lying and lying all over the place. No, we're just going to sit on the ground for a little bit, and that's not so bad. I suppose it's going to be sunny that day, too. Yes, yes. At night, there's going to be a vigil and a sleep out at City Hall. And 11 p.m., the sleeping ban, which is the exact thing we're going against here, begins, and there is no legal place to sleep in Santa Cruz outside. Now, see, yeah, that's fucked, man. I could be sleeping outside my house on the ground just for the hell of it, and I could get busted. And that's the least of my problems. Fuck. Well, what we need is blankets, pajamas, chairs, tables, signs, bathrobes, nightgowns, teddy bears, pillows, cameras, camcorders, media, cars and vans to sleep in, drums, flutes, violins, coloring chalk costumes, trumpets, food friends, fun, kitties, rabbits, dogs are illegal in the Pacific Mall, but beds and whatever else will show the city how absurd their bastardly law is. Please bring it. For more info, call Bob at 423-4833 or Tim at 427-5335. We're going to leave you now, as you might have heard, and what are we leaving them with here, dude? We got a little Op Ivy, and in comes the home wrecker, after Beard.
Back in school, you ever get busted for trying to walk and have some administrator tell you, son, you can shirk your obligations and try to be different from your responsibility in your future. God bless you. God bless you.
Mic, sort of. Hello?
Yes.
I guess I don't even need to do my show. These guys have been covering the issues as well as I could.
Wait a minute.
All right.
Let's try a mic that actually works. Hi, everybody. This is Bathrobes PR Robert Norse. Tiny bit late, but not later than usual, actually. Next 2 hours, it's going to be rain, 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 and snooze, 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 and let's wake up and boogie with civil rights for the poor. Sleeping, of course, is the theme, the right to sleep in Santa Cruz, what's happening with the rights of homeless people in San Francisco and other cities. We're going to be covering some interesting things. We're going to be going back to the Citizens Committee for the Homeless's December Board of Directors meeting. That's the group that 86 the property, 86 the homeless from the property, that where they actually had a place to sleep at night, a open-air shelter, the homeless campground, which was gone in December in spite of their promises. We actually have received a tape of the meeting that was made by two video photographers, and our tip of the hat to Charlie Phillips. We're going to be listening to that highlights from that meeting later, as well as highlights from the City Hall sleepout, which even now is supposedly getting some nice, intense media coverage from Channel 11, which means, of course, a five-second video soundbite. But get your butts down to City Hall, if you can, at 809 Center Street. You can make it a three-in-one trip. You can, first of all, provide some food and pat on the back the folks who are really doing the grueling 24-hour-a-day business of establishing the right of the homeless to sleep in Santa Cruz. That's Dan Hopkins and Sean and all the other sleeper-outers there. And then your next stop can be at Mike Rotkin's office, where you can tell him to do what Willie Brown did, which is make it legal for people to sleep. As he has done in San Francisco, so should Rotkin do here in Santa Cruz, because there is a city council meeting tomorrow, and that issue could come before city council as an emergency measure. It won't, because Rotkin has refused to do that. He was asked to do that on Friday. But you can tell him how you feel about it, and you can talk to somebody who will talk to you. Discuss the matter with another city council member other than Mayor Rotkin, who seems to be somewhat entrenched and intransigent on the issue. Talk to Jane Yokoyama. Talk to Cynthia Matthews. As the Metro Santa Cruz said last week, the women on the city council, although in many cases not so hot, certainly not so hot on this issue, they are dwarfed in their absurdity by the men, who are just horrible. Scott Kennedy and Michael Rotkin are just the pits on these homeless issues, particularly the right to sleep and the right to a campground. We also have some special guests in the studio who are just watching. They're watching and pointing vigorously. They don't wish to be quoted at this time. We have one special guest. Your name, sir, is?
June.
Say again?
Mr. June.
Mr. June. Jay June is going to be with us, at least for a part of the time. And now let's do our little music tune-in, sign-in, and drift in.
You wouldn't think in this age of Social Security and unemployment insurance that people can get lost, but it's true, they still do, they can still get lost. It's true, right under your eyes, all around the city, right under your eyes, all around the city. You wouldn't think in this age of psychoanalysis and modern housing developments that people can get lost, but it's true, they still do, they can still get lost. It's true, right under your eyes, all around the city, right under your eyes, all around the city. While two busy bees are busy, busy buzzing in your eyes, we are busy, busy leading our peculiar lives. We have no steady home address, no doorbell and no doormat. We live from day to day by our own ingenious format. You can't tell us from the solid phone, we look so neat and bright. We take no handouts, all we need is enough to eat and a place to sleep at night. Subways are for sleeping, and so are so many other places. Locks and cellars and fire escapes, car lots, museums and excavations. When the night comes creeping, find an empty baggage car. For if you know your way around, over in and under, from the Jersey to the Long Island town, you can sleep wherever you are. Sleep wherever you are.
Sleep wherever you are. But we don't have a subway system here in Santa Cruz. What we got is, we got no system in Santa Cruz. I guess we got a system of arrests under the sleeping ban. You're listening to 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norse, self-appointed homeless activist, civil libertarian, and general gadfly about town, going through 2 hours of talk. Our call-in number, should you want to join us, is 427-3772, 427 FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's what we are, Free Radio Santa Cruz. And we're bucking to remain Free Radio Santa Cruz in spite of a court decision coming up on the 15th for Free Radio Berkeley, which is going to be very important. And it's been, of course, repeatedly announced on the station. I'm going to announce it again. Encourage people to rally for free speech to help keep Free Radio Berkeley, and that means Free Radio Santa Cruz on the air. That's Friday, March 15th, 9 a.m. There's going to be a meeting up in Oakland at Broadway and 12th at the Oakland City Center BART. You can show your opposition to the FCC's attempt to silence Free Radio Berkeley with the threat of a permanent injunction. Then we're going to march to the Oakland Federal Building at 13th and Clay for a free speech demo at 9:30 a.m. And there'll be a federal court hearing at 10:30. And if you want more information on that, you can give a call at 510-464-3041. Or if you don't have much money, give me a call at my Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom number, my HUFF line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833 here in Santa Cruz. I think there may be some caravans going up. That's my show day, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be up there, down here, or somewhere between the two places. Well, let's begin this hour with this guy who I dragged out of the rain. Actually, he was sheltered in Taco Bell, and I was rounding up victims for this show. Jay, have a seat here, and let's see if we can milk you for a little information and see how you're doing.
Good morning, Santa Cruz.
Hey, Jay. You hear that? He's talking to you, Santa Cruz. And you can call us at 427-3772 and talk back. I mean, we don't want this to be a one-way conversation. So Jay, are you a homeless person?
No, I'm not homeless. I pay rent. I live in the mountains of Santa Cruz.
Are you a sympathizer with these homeless tramp types?
That's for sure.
You are a sympathizer.
Oh, I sympathize with them. I feel for them.
Well, why do you sympathize? Aren't these people who just don't want a job, won't work, and just littering the whole area? I mean, that's what the Sentinel said this morning.
I think they want to work, but we're cut off from the main world by the mountains. The Santa Cruz Mountains is Highway 17 blocks us off from the main cities over there, uh-huh. San Jose area. So,
what kind of work do you do yourself?
I'm a landscaper myself.
Have you been homeless, or?
I have been homeless before.
Here in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, and it was kind of rough.
Tell me about it.
Well, the part about camping out is the tough part. The daytime is no problem, but at night when you find yourself without a place to sleep, it can get rough. There's people out there looking to give you tickets and stuff like that.
And did you get tickets when you were homeless? Or?
I never did, because I stayed up in the woods farther where they couldn't get to me. But I hear of the people that can't do that, like disabled, severely disabled, they can't get out into the woods. So they end up getting ticketed and harassed. I feel for them.
Now, how long were you, Jay, on the streets or in the woods, so to speak?
About a year.
And what year was that?
That was in 82, wow. Back during the floods and the storms.
And that was right in the middle of the Code Blue, actually short after the Code Blue troll busting by the cops, right?
I remember all that.
And did you have any friends who were victims of that troll busting stuff?
A few people that I knew, just acquaintances. I didn't actually, I don't know them now, but at the time, I saw people with crutches and whatnot that got beaten by these troll busters. That hasn't happened, though, lately. That I know of.
Yeah, although we do have this kind of troll-busting mentality, right from the top, Mayor Mike Rotkin has downgraded attempts by homeless activists to get shelter open and to get the sleeping ban suspended and to simply do what's being done in San Francisco, which is a much larger town with a much bigger homeless population. One would think a much more anxious residential population. Brown has declared that he will not have his police ticket people for sleeping. Do you think that Mayor Rotkin should do the same here in
Santa
Cruz?
I think he should. The problem's not as big here, but I think he should do that.
You think so?
Definitely.
Of course, I've been pushing for that for years. And there is this prejudice problem. I saw this article in the Saturday paper, which probably has been already discussed on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Get Out of Santa Cruz. It was on the front page. Flyer spurs neighborhood dialogue by Karen Clark. A guy named Phil Whalen was just wrapping up a visit to a friend's home on Pelton Avenue across from Lighthouse Field 2 weeks ago when he saw someone skulking around his 1969 restored Volkswagen van. Whalen expected the worst. What he got was unbelievable. I thought someone was going to break into my van, said Whalen, who had parked on Pelton Avenue, a few houses down from his friend's place. When I got there, I found this flyer on the windshield. It's scary. The flyer that had been slipped under a driver's side windshield wiper was a computer printout titled, in bold letters, "Our Neighborhood is Not a Campground or RV Park." It went on to tell Whalen, "We have recorded your license number and vehicle description. The next time you drift in, here's what will happen. One, the police will come and visit you. Two, they will search you, your possessions, and your vehicle for drugs, paraphernalia, and weapons. Three, they will run a warrant search on you to see if you're wanted somewhere else. 4, they will write you a $168 citation. Take a hint, get a life, but mostly just get out of Santa Cruz. Whalen said he not only was upset about getting the flyer after parking less than 30 minutes near a friend's home, but also by its threatening tone. And then the flyer goes on to talk about Mayor Mike Rotkin, who lives in the area, said he would bring the flyer to the attention of the Pelton Avenue advocates who have been meeting with city officials about traffic and parking problems on the street. He says he doesn't believe those advocates are the ones responsible for the flyer, but they will be the ones to get the word out that these tactics aren't appropriate. It's certainly not the image of Santa Cruz that we want to present, said Rotkin. I'm unhappy to see it. And indeed, the Sentinel today, in its thumbs-up column, it has a sort of a thumbs-up, thumbs-down box on Monday, which they kind of comment on events by putting their thumb up or down, has a thumbs-down for this flyer, but they spend half their time trashing homeless people and campers and denouncing them instead of denouncing the bigotry that puts people in positions where they can't get into a legal camping area, so naturally they're parking in all kinds of other places. If it's illegal to park everywhere, then why choose one place over any other? Why bother to avoid the residential neighborhoods if it's going to be illegal no matter wherever you go? Were you in a vehicle or were you on foot when you were homeless, Jay?
I didn't have a vehicle.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Yeah, I read that article.
Oh, no, this is Phil Free, the notorious musician.
Of course it is. I've always got an opinion this time of morning.
Don't throw coffee in our face.
It's really interesting hearing the mayor say that this isn't the type of impression that we want to give about Santa Cruz, because I don't know. This is the impression that I've been getting from his regime and the regimes that came before him for the last couple of years. I think it's exactly the type of thing that they want to have in this town. It's exactly the type of atmosphere that the politicians of this town have been fueling for some time.
Let's see what Jay says about that. Jay, what do you think? Does Phil Free have his finger on something here, or is he just ranting and raving?
They're trying to create that in the sense.
We just created coffee on the floor here.
They're fanning the flames of civilian fascism.
Exactly. I don't think it's fair, and it's not right. It's not what this country's about.
You can barely hear your guest.
I just poured some hot coffee in his lap so he can do a lawsuit here.
Oh, okay.
Kind of a wake-up call from you, Phil. That's what it took here.
Stand up and speak out like we're doing this morning.
Right. Yeah, you know, they say a lot of really terrible things about the homeless in this town and other towns. And I don't know. I can't picture one homeless person that I know doing an obscene thing like that little note. I can't picture one homeless fascist in this town. This whole mentality against the homeless is something that's only used against the homeless. These are really human qualities that are the nastiest parts of human beings, and they're only expressed by those with houses, those with jobs, and they're really beating on people that have already been beat. And this is what they want us to aspire to. We can become this kind of apathetic person with a house and hate everybody that's not like us.
It's a minority, I think, Phil. I think
it is a minority, but it represents an attitude that does exist in this town.
But in order,
I don't think everybody would have gone out and put a note on the window like that, but I think there's a lot of people that are, not just in this town, in this country, that are being forced into believing that the world is screwed up because poor people are taking too much money.
It's easier to fear the person who's unkempt and sitting on the street for a number of reasons. First, because you might be him. Second, because who knows what, because he's going to take away from you the little bit that you have, or she's going to pull your heartstrings and make you feel guilty when you walk by and don't give a quarter, or that CD musician who's playing those nasty songs next to Logos all the time. No question. But I want to say this, though. In all honesty, I got to say, we do have a few homeless fascists. I had one on the air about a month ago. You called in and attacked him, remember?
He was the one.
So we have an occasional homeless fascist. But I would say that he is probably not fascistic toward other homeless people.
Well, he's not fascistic towards the class that oppresses him either.
Right. He just has some crazy ideas.
But I think in this country, they're making the people believe that their problems are because of the poor people. And it's a growing trend in this country, and it's something that needs repeating over and over and over again. We have all the money that we could ever want if we just stop spending it on bombs. Poor people are taking too much money, all right?
Not bombs? Is that your idea again?
Food, not bombs is such a fucking wonderful concept. It goes into so many other things, but it really is a universal concept in this country and a lot of countries. We have this insane military budget. We have nobody to fight with all these weapons in the first place, but somehow we find people to drop our bombs on anyways.
Well, I would like to invite people who are should we say, the unspoken individuals who do oppose homeless people being able to, say, park in their vans, who are sympathetic with this flyer, or perhaps are not as opposed to it as we are, to give us a call here at 427-3772. Let's hear from the critics.
I'd like to put a shout-out for the idiot that wrote that note, but I doubt he's the type of person that listens to free radio. For one, he's got real delusions of grandeur about the powers of the police. That's way overboard. The cops cannot just fucking do all the shit that it says on that note.
He's trying to frighten people.
People, and it's like, you know, if you're trying to frighten people.
Well, the police are kind of frightening. I know yesterday they came in and trashed the homeless vigil, stealing political signs, destroying property.
Yes, the police are much more frightening than any homeless person I've ever run across, because, I don't know, the police have guns and badges, and, you know, they have, like, some sort of thing where you have to deal with them. Like, they talk to you, you pretty much,
yeah,
they can make you talk to them.
You walk away and they arrest you. That's
right. You walk away. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you. You were being detained.
Well, Phil, let me see if we can get some of these folks to call in who perhaps you and I might call bigots, who themselves, I'm sure, wouldn't call themselves bigots, but
let's
see what they have to say.
Yeah, I don't think you're listening to such a fine radio station, but we'll see.
Let's see indeed.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Phil. Thanks again.
My guest is a recovering, and we have another phone call. Jay, are you okay over there?
Sorry.
You have to put out that cigarette pretty soon.
Encourage
I'm about
to call
choke
me.
Here.
Sorry.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Okay, now move along. Out of sight, out of mind.
Yes, this sounds like Battling Bob LaMonica.
Well, this is Bob. Hi. Just a couple of things, Robert. Willie Brown in San Francisco has proposed opening up the parks to the homeless.
Actually, that's the Examiner's way of putting it. What has really been said is he's considering opening up some distant parks for use as overnight campsites by some low-income people, not usually homeless people. But it was the Examiner. We're going to have a little interview later, Bob, with Keith McHenry,
yeah,
who's a Food Not Bombs activist in San Francisco, is actually on a campaign to smear Brown and characterize him with that position. I would be glad if Brown took that position, but in fact he has not. That's
okay.
My understanding. He has said, yeah, he did say that he would allow homeless people to sleep at night, provided they don't sleep in any more than one or two together. Any more than that is an encampment, so you can imagine how safe that is in San Francisco, sleeping alone or with one other person.
I read a very different portrayal in a one-paragraph article in the Sentinel last week.
Oh, really?
In fact, they were going to open up the parks to anyone.
No.
And anyone could get a pass.
No. Well, they were going to open up, he's talked about, and it's still just a speculative subject, they're going to consider... thank you, Jay. All right. Our guest, I thought, was leaving, but in fact, he's still with us, or will be soon. There actually is no immediate plan to open up either the parks or Treasure Island or Alcatraz or any of these other things which rumors have been floating around for any kind of homeless use. Rather, he suggested to the Parks and Rec Department that they look into the possibility of designating some distant parks as... like usable for like weekend camping sites for those people who want to just go on a weenie roast type trip, you know, not a housing trip or a place to stay because of their emergency shelter needs. Although presumably such people could make use, the way the River Street refugees do make use of the Henry Cow Park here, of those campgrounds if he opens them. But it was just a suggestion that he sent to this woman, Mary Barnes, or Burns, to consider, and she immediately leaked it to the Examiner in order to start some sort of hysteria against Brown in San Francisco.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of points I wanted to make quickly. First of all, this project, Community House, there can be an attempt to block it legally, and it can be done relatively simply.
Really?
Yeah. It can at least have a court date and a judicial review. In a short hearing, okay, with some very little effort. I've talked to Dan Hopkins about this, and it might be something to be pursued.
Now, for those who don't know, and probably that's nobody, but Community House is the 20 to 40 person, $1 million trailer project that is replacing a successful 150 to 300 person campground that was the only legal place for people to sleep in Santa Cruz and the only legal campground in the country at the time it was illegally closed in December by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which is a group that wants trailers for a few instead of a campground for the many. Go ahead. And they call that Community House.
Legal open-air shelter is the way to go. I think most of us who are, and I'm on the periphery of this issue, in full solidarity with it, but it seems to me that the legal open-air shelter approach is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple of things. I think this gets down to a very sincere values issue. What kind of values do we want to hit the next millennium with? And I'm going to use a phrase by Kent Robinson. Two interesting stories came out early this year in the news, and no flags went down on the play. First one was in February. Bill Clinton floats a trial balloon about national school uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Remember reading about that?
Maybe, not sure.
Okay, there was virtually no feedback on that and what the consequences of that are as a way to, quote, get around gang violence, right? So we're moving more and more towards this uniformity, fascistic, either fit in or get out of town approach. The other thing is the plunder compensation packages of the ruling and aspiring ruling classes. It's becoming incredibly blatant what's going on. There'll be front page stories about the compensation and bonuses and salaries of executives and dividends of people that have the that have equity, that have property. And in the midst of this era of downsizing, right? So I think a lot of what we're being confronted with in the 90s is how blatant does it have to get before there is a reaction from the people?
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. But let me turn back to an issue that was being discussed by the previous caller, and which was being discussed by me. But this is the flyer which I issued yesterday called Park In Against Prejudice. Have you read that flyer?
I might have it right here in front of me.
On one side is the story I was reading earlier, Get Out of Santa Cruz, kind of a reprint from the Saturday Sentinel. And on the other side is,
yeah, I have it right here.
Is my
right
response.
Here.
And yeah. Let me, for the benefit of the audience, kind of give them briefly what it says. It suggests friendly fascists in Mayor Rotkin's neighborhood have been circulating a threatening flyer demanding poor people living in their vans get out of Santa Cruz. Anti-homeless rhetoric by city officials like Mayor Rotkin and Lieutenant Joe Habey of the SCPD attacks the homeless for seeking the right to sleep at night without fear of arrest. This kind of official hostility to basic human rights encourages these vigilante bigots. The closing of the Winter Armory shelter on March 15th in the city's 11 to 8:30 a.m. sleeping van will make hundreds of homeless potential victims of reprisals from renegades spurred by Rotkin's no campground, no sleep for the poor rhetoric and position, I might add. Stand fast against fear and ignorance. Demand Mayor Rotkin speak out against bigotry and lift the sleeping ban in non-residential areas of the city. At this point, I recommend that our listeners call Mayor Rotkin right now, and when you can, 429-3540. That's the City Hall Mayor's line, and you can go in and ask him just exactly what he's doing and register your opinion that he should do what Willie Brown did, which is open the area, open the city, or at least certain areas of the city. If he doesn't want them in residential neighborhoods, he can restrict that, but some areas have to be legal for people to sleep in at night. And I'm also suggesting, of course, a new organization, Vivi, or VV if you want, Vagabonds Ignoring Vigilante Idiots.
This get-out-of-town approach is reminiscent of the KKK.
Yeah.
I mean, let's lay it out like it is.
Well, what about a counter response? How about making a vehicular visit to Pelton Avenue, parking your pickup, and pulling up a pillow?
I think it's great, your response, Vagabonds Ignoring Vigilante Idiots. You know, I heard once a statement, sometimes these things are said in jest, but put them all on the suntan special, right? You know, get them all out of town. I think a lot of it is that we just simply do not want to deal with the reality that people fall through the cracks for whatever reason, and that they deserve minimal respect. And this out of sight, out of mind, move along, which is illogical. If you can't sleep, where are you going to move along to? It has no sense whatsoever to it, except that we don't want to deal with the issue.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You know, and I guess I don't know how many thousands of times I've said that's true in the last
five
years.
Well, one would hope that Santa Cruz, of all the communities in the country, would find a way to deal with this very important issue, which has to do with basic human dignity and survival.
Yeah.
Rather than sloughing it under the carpet and coming up with excuses why it's their fault.
Well, I think what we have to do is call City Hall, 429-3550. That's the City Council, and you can also get the mayor that number, or you can get the mayor directly at 429-3540. But give a call to City Council, and that's a 24-hour line, And then tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Tuesday, March 12th, is the last city council meeting where this could possibly be dealt with, although it's probably too late because Rodkin refused on Friday to endorse an emergency measure. But you can come to that meeting to show your concern tomorrow at 7, and then most important, go outside and support the sleep out, which has been going on for, it's going into its 12th day today, I guess, or no, it's 11th night. It'll be 12th night on City Council night. And then, of course, on the 16th, as you may have heard half an hour ago, a previous host read through the newest flyer, Sleep is Not a Crime, Come to the Protest and Sleep Out on the March 16th, where we are inviting people from across the nation and, indeed, as far away as Russia to come and join us to rush on in and, grab a bag, grab a blanket, and support those who need to be able to sleep at night, which is all of us, you know.
You know, the Statue of Liberty, which is here in America, a gift by France, it says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Now, that's either BS or it's the truth. But I think it's time that America faced its ideology.
It's time that at least Santa Cruz, whatever Newt Gingrich's part of America wants to do, I think the rest of us have to make our own choices here, and we have to make sure that bureaucrats and politicians and individuals who think that the community is more bigoted than it is don't make those decisions for us and blight our own consciences by making it illegal for people to sleep at night.
Yeah, last thing, and that I want to pick up on that blight our own consciousness, is we are entering a phase of being tested as to how blatant we will accept abuse. And when the plundering of the upper classes becomes as blatant as it's becoming in the 90s, in this era of downsizing, and to use once again Kent Robinson's phrase, no flags go down on the play, when the President of the United States floats a trial balloon for national school uniforms and no flags go down on the play, it's time for some action from the people.
And I don't mean uniform action either, Bob.
Well, you know, when the elected officials fail, it's up to the people to become active.
Oh, definitely. That's the only way we can...
So
we can
I'll listen in.
Okay, well,
thank
you.
All right.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz again, and of course that's not to callers, that's to everybody. You have open lines to me. I'm at 427-3772. We're going to play a little bit now of some interviews that we did way back when, at the very beginning of the Sleep Out for Homeless Rights. Interesting stuff that first day. The weather was balmy. It was a week ago Friday. People were there. We had quite a number of people the first night. I guess it was 7 or 8 or 9. No, actually it was more. It was up to 12, and I think there were 3 other people around the corner, and some interesting stuff came out in conversation. We're going to kind of do a bit of a retrospective, and I urge people to get down to the Sleep Out now. I don't mean tonight, I mean now, because it's during the day when our numbers are few that the police can come in and trash us. That's what they do. So here's a little retrospective. Here's a little interview from March 1st.
Take it. You are a notorious single mom.
Yeah, I'm a single mom.
And how long have you been a single mom?
Pretty much since Ohio was born.
How is that? And you would say even perhaps a houseless single mom.
Yeah, definitely.
And has that been easy, difficult, somewhere in between? How would you describe it?
There's many times when I wish I had a home. There's many times when I wish I could plant a garden and watch it grow. It's very difficult to get ahead because I think it's really important for me to stay with him and be there for him and teach him as much as I can. He's 4 years old, and those first few years of a child's life are very important to have a connection with people who really care and love a person. And I haven't really found a situation where he would get the kind of care, even though we don't live in a house and it isn't like a regular life. He still gets, a better education than he would if he was being cared for by others. And I felt like it was really important to me to be there for him. And I don't necessarily fit in with the way this culture does things. And I have a hard time understanding why somebody would give 8 hours of their day every day to something that doesn't have meaning and value to them. If I found something that was really important to me that way, I would have an easy time doing it, but I haven't really been able to do both be a mom and give energy to something that was important to me. I think probably the most ideal thing would be to move to a farm, but I just haven't found a farm yet or something like that.
How long have you been now in the Santa Cruz area?
About a year and a half.
And you and Bam are old friends?
Yeah, I knew him 4 or 5 years ago. I went to Hawaii and had Ohia and then came back.
Go that way.
So, this light is what means the tape recorder is working. See? So, have you ever gotten a ticket for sleeping outside or been hassled by the Santa Cruz police for being homeless?
I've been told to move. I've been, never gotten a ticket, though. I've just been told to move.
What about tonight? Are you interested in sleeping here? Is that going to be part of your agenda? Are you visiting? What's your situation?
I wasn't planning on sleeping here. I might, you know, I'm open to it, but we'll have to see what happens. I'm going to listen to Ohia. If he feels like he wants to go back and sleep inside the van, I will take him back there.
Okay. And again, your name is?
Rebecca.
And Ohia, say hello and goodbye.
Hello, goodbye.
Cool, well said. And Rebecca, anything you want to add?
No, I just feel like the Earth is a place where people live everywhere. And every single person that lives on the Earth has entitled to a space here, whether they are willing to plug into the existing culture or not. And there is plenty. There is plenty. It's a consciousness of poverty that creates poverty. There's plenty. There's abundance.
Thank you.
So, more interviews in a moment, but we have a couple of drop-in guests who are concerned about the... They've been homeless for at least... what's your name?
Brian.
Brian's been homeless for about 2 weeks, and... And Melanie, have you been also, are you homeless, or? You're also, how long have you been homeless? And you want to tell us, Melanie, how did it happen you guys got homeless? What was the story? Was it housing problems? Was it parental problems? Did your house burn down? What happened?
It's a matter of us getting kicked out of our house.
Oh, yeah? And what was is there a story behind that do you think might interest people, or?
Well, I don't know if it would interest people exactly, but...
you don't have to discuss it unless you want to.
Our parents are assholes.
Oh, your parents are assholes.
I see.
it's a lifestyle difference, or?
Well, you know, like, as a lifestyle, I'm sure we're different than people that got a job, and, like, when we spur change off of them, get a job, well, you know, maybe not everybody wants to.
That's true. Certainly some of us at times don't. But the criticism, there are also a lot of homeless people who do want to get jobs and who are struggling to get work at different times. What kind of situations, how do you live now that you're homeless? I mean, are you outside much? Are you in vans? Do you squat? What's happening on that note?
We slept in a van of a friend last night.
And do you often face police problems, Brian?
Constantly.
And give an example of a police problem that's arisen.
All right. A police problem is like... I don't have a big problem with the fact that they're out there, but the fact that they, like, even if they're being nice to you, they're still talking down to you. They don't treat you like another human.
Mm-hmm. And have you been ticketed at all in the course of your 2 weeks in homelessness?
Most certainly, and they fucking think that I'm going to be able to pay for their, like, arresting me. Like, they charge you for arresting me.
And what kind of tickets, Melanie, have you received? But is this because you haven't been discovered sleeping at night, or what's the situation?
I've been found camping under a bridge before, and I guess that was an offense. And I was ticketed for that. Mm-hmm. And
how about troll busting? Have you noticed any hostility from people coming down there who aren't police, you know, either abusing homeless people verbally or, you know, physically?
I've definitely seen people abusing homeless people, not me because I'm a teenager, just like the people that usually do that. And they don't usually fuck with me, but I've
you've seen other people fucked with?
Actually, people who are like trying to clean out the city, you know, clean out our town.
Oh, really? How do you know that, Melanie?
They've messed with me and my friends. They like will drive by and yell, and I guess I watched them beat up a bunch of friends.
I watched them beat up my friends with brass knuckles.
Now wait a minute. Now who were these people? Were they local guys or local women? Were they men?
Guys, they were about 20 or something.
And how many of them were there?
Probably, I don't know, just about, like, I don't know, like about 12 of them.
12 of them?
Not when I was there.
Nobody when you were there. what kind of an incident did you see? Come a little closer in here, could you? I mean, where did this happen? You saw somebody actually being physically abused?
Yeah, I think it's just like it's kind of like a gang war, you know, like the clean people against the dirty people or something.
These aren't sort of Latino youths who are engaging in turf battles.
No, I think it's more like fucking rich white kids that like want to be Latinos. Like, want to be fucking badass, like, want to fucking throw down for their shit, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, they kicking punk's ass, because fucking we're dirty and we're fucking... But
they don't like your lifestyle.
Right.
They don't like the way you look, clothes you wear.
And the worst to, like, the older, like, guys, like, people, somebody might be, like, 35 or something. They're worse to them that are homeless than they are to us. Like, we can usually, like, maybe talk them out of it, but...
The older guys, particularly older alcoholics, I imagine, really get the shaft.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Now, Melanie, this incident you saw, when did it happen, more or less?
It was about a month and a half ago.
Where did it happen?
On Pacific Avenue.
Yeah. Where on Pacific Avenue?
In front of Camouflage.
Can you kind of describe how you saw it happen and kind of the course of the incident?
You know, we were walking down the street and there was a big group of us, and I honestly don't remember because I was involved talking to someone else, and the next thing I knew that I saw three of my friends get hit and like fall to the ground.
Were they hit with fists or with something else?
They had brass knuckles.
Did you see the kind of people who were hitting them? Were they in a car? Were they on the street?
They were walking down the street. No, I don't know. They were wearing flannels.
Did they say anything?
Not that I heard, but I mean, they were just doing like taunting and stuff, and we've seen them since then, and they'll say things like, gotta get you out of here.
Do we have a mic here? I guess we do, yeah. Wow, well, that's something. You know, if anyone out there sees any incidents of this kind, I want to be told about it so I can put out the word to my audience on the radio, and also I publish every so often a flyer and a thing called the Street Shit Sheet, which is a homeless newsletter. Don't smoke in here. The reason is I got a cold and I'm going to, you know. Thanks. Appreciate it. And that goes for you, too. Don't smoke out there, either. I don't want to have any smoke messing up my radio waves, okay? Mr. Bob, or I don't know if you're still smoking. Anyway, 423-4833 is the number to call when we're not on the air. If you want to report a troll-busting incident, an incident of police abuse, give us some news or information about discrimination at a homeless shelter or a meal program or something, you know, nastiness from a merchant or bullshit from a parking attendant, or try to be specific. Don't exaggerate. Tell us exactly what happened, and we'll put the information out. You may get a recording, in which case leave a long message about what happened, when it happened, where it happened, who saw it, and if possible, how we can get back to you. If you haven't got a phone, tell us an area where you hang out, and we can try to go find you there. You can also come to the homeless sleep out at City Hall and talk to Dragon's Heart Dan or Sean and feed the people there, or other people at that vigil who will be happy to kind of, some of them have tape recorders, they can record your testimony and talk about and get that information out on the radio and get that information into a more public view. Because one thing that rats can't stand is strong lights, and when the light hits the rat's eyes, you know, they go scampering, that's the story. And I'll tell you, the sleeping ban is the sinking ship, these laws against the homeless, all a sinking ship. We want to see all those rats running off that sinking ship. In fact, we'd like to leave the sinking ship, too. In fact, let's let that ship sink, and let's get some decent laws and some basic respect for human rights in Santa Cruz. And how we do it is by sharing information. You can actually share information right now by calling Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And the phone number here, of course, is 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. And that phone line is open and ready to roll. I'm going to thank our guests. And Brian, anything more you want to add, Melanie, before we roll into something else? Go ahead.
A lot of time probably people think we're probably exaggerating about the cops, like treating us like shit, but it happens really commonly.
That's close enough. Go ahead. Anything else?
You know, fucking...
I mean, because when those incidents of police abuse come up, I think that's really important that, that Brian, that you call in, you know, talk about them. You can actually call the air directly, and sometimes you'll get a person who can actually put you on the air. But more often, you'll get, you know, like somebody's playing music, punk music or something, and that happens a lot in the station, and other kinds of music. And you can call 423-HUFF. That's my number. And so if something happens, call that number and we'll and then give a report. Say, well, this happened, where, when, how, and who, and this is the story, and we'll play that on the air.
Oh, they don't really treat us like human beings, and I get insecure because I'm on the fucking mic.
No, I understand. Well, you've said it. You've said it to us, and you can say it, you know, when the next incident comes up, if it does, give us a call and tell your friends about that, too. Here's a flyer about our Park Inn Against Prejudice flyer. You can take that with you. My number is at the very bottom, 423-4833, and I'm Robert. And I appreciate you coming on the show and talking. And Melanie, anything else you want to say yourself?
No.
All right. Thanks a lot. And I appreciate your being here, man. Did good. All right, so now we're going to return to some more interviews from the City Hall sleepout. I want to thank our guests for being here. And again, we want you to get your butt off your doo-doo and get to the phone and give us a quick call, because calls are what we need to the life of the show. It's real information from people like Brian and Melanie and you that make this show worth listening to. Everybody knows what I've got to say. Everybody knows my opinion. I can rattle it off faster than I can snap my fingers, but so what? It's your lives that count, and let's hear what's going on in them.
If I talk to you, the light goes on, so say hello.
Hello!
So you see, talking to
Robin Mitchell.
And Robin, you actually, you said you'll be supportive here, but you're worried about a possible warrant from an old camping ticket, of all things.
Yeah, totally.
And you're a homeless person yourself?
Yeah, I am homeless. I used to work for the county. I went storm disaster relief, and then I got hooked. I don't know. Santa Cruz has been really weird. I got two daughters that are gone now. I'm estranged from them because of the people that rented us a house. I got it through the community resource center.
Mike Busquez.
Yeah, he got it all hooked up. And then there was this crazy old guy living out back. Him and my ex-wife.
Did you know I had a bike?
Go ahead, I'm sorry. So you got a lodging through Mike Busquez and some problems?
Yeah, he got us a place. And then, like, they took the money that we gave them and they went to the Philippines. And
they being?
The landlady. Her name is Edna. Braga. Well, anyway, they had this other little Filipino guy living out back in this little studio cottage, and he started getting my girlfriend drunk all the time and stuff, and I'd go to work, and then I'd come home, and she wouldn't come home at night and stuff, and I finally caught her, you know, whatever, and so now she lives in Modesto, and I'm homeless here, and I can't find a job anywhere. Nobody will give me a job.
So you, as a homeless person, you find it difficult to get work?
Or? Yeah, I do, totally. I got a resume from the shelter, but I mean, it says Coral Street right on it, so I take it in and they look at it and then they know I'm homeless, and I guess they just don't want to give me work.
And how long have you been homeless?
I'm working on about 8 months now.
And what do you do at night when you need to sleep?
I got a camp, but I'm being harassed around there now. Every time I turn around, there's a ranger harassing one of my friends, asking them where the camp